All right, let's get into this. Faith or filters? That's where we are talking. And we have been down a lot of roads already in the first couple of weeks. Let me read to you verse number 19. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 19. It says, "For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him, by Christ, to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." One more verse, verse 23. Let me back up. Let's go back to verse 22. "The body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith." We'll stop right there. Now I'll pick this up in just a moment, because that's where we're going to jump in tonight, is verse 23, and start from there. But notice what he just said. Notice how verse 22 ended, that he reconciled all these things together, and we were once alienated and enemies in our mind, okay, by wicked works and all that, but Jesus reconciled us to the Father by the blood of his cross, by the blood he shed on our behalf at the cross, and he brought us so that now he can present us holy and blameless. That two Wednesdays ago, that's where we left off, that we were holy and blameless and above reproach in the Father's sight, if, you probably should put that in the comments too, if, because that's important, that little word is very important, if you continue in, now notice, the faith. If you continue in the faith. Now, there's something important that we need to hear there. Because it doesn't even just say if you continue in faith, it's if you continue in the faith. Because in the faith is a certain thing. And that is, being in the faith means that you have now come alive in Christ through the blood shed that's reconciled us to the Father. And if you stay there, then you are considered blameless, above reproach in the Father's eyes. But if you try to come any other direction to the Father other than the faith, which is found only in Christ, then you are no longer blameless. You have to present something. You have to accomplish something. And you and I can't do that. Christ only can, did, and it lasts forever. And so the first thing that I want you to understand in this as we, and I'm not going to do a lot of recapping, but you got to understand, you have to continue in the faith in order to be blameless and above reproach in the Father's eyes. Because if you step out of this thing called the faith, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about that, if you step outside of that, then you are no longer blameless in his sight. It's only in that context. Does that make sense to everybody? In the context of the faith. The faith is anyone. What makes up the faith is any person who puts faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. They are now in the faith. And the only way we stay in tune with the Father, holy and blameless and above reproach, is by living our life from that. Okay, so that's the first thing I want to say. And so here's the battle that we are covering in this discussion, in this study. We are battling now what becomes the battle between faith or filters. Because our world wants to try to cause us to see everything through filters. But if we're going to stay in tune with the Father through Christ, and we're going to stay holy and blameless and above reproach, and we're going to have wisdom and all these things we've already covered, then we must not look at life through filters or live through filters. We must live through faith, which is truth. Okay. So all that is recapped. So if you need to recap that, you need to go to riverlifechurch.com, to the media page, to the walk, and you need to listen to those, because I don't have the time to recap all that. But here's the thing about filters that I've been talking to you about. And I was thinking of the context of a picture that has a filter placed on it. A filter hides reality. So a filter hides reality. You're not seeing the real thing. You're seeing something through a filter. A filter will determine what remains of the image you're looking at. Because in filters, you can do away with some of the image itself in order to see only what the one making that decision wants you to see. And then filters will reshape edges. They'll blur lines. Filters will make things harder to see clearly. And that's what the world, that's what the enemy, and that's what our flesh wants to try to get us to look at our life through as filters. And I told you, I said, you know, I've heard people say, and I've even said it myself, but that we must look through the filter of faith, through the lens of faith. But I'm going to back up and say I'm not even sure that's how we need to look, because anything that we try to put some filter on to look through is not going to be effective. We must look through only truth. Truth is not filtered. See, a lot of times we read the Word and we read it through a filter. We filter it through our understanding, our upbringing, what we agree with, and we filter the Word we read through that. And even that can become dangerous. And Colossians in chapter 2 and into chapter 3 is going to talk about this. But these filters will hide truth. If you will begin to read the Word, study the Word, live your life from the truth of faith in Christ and the truth of what Christ has accomplished, you and I will begin to see and learn and grow and walk in brand new ways. So we must choose faith over filters. Jesus said, John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're not filtering through Christ. That's just truth. I mean, it's out there plain. This is who He is. And so we have to accept who He is. Okay? So that's what I'm going to go with, what I want to talk to you about. And then we went from there and we went a couple other places. But then we began traveling through chapter 1 of Colossians. And what we're going to discover in chapter 1, we are discovering how to live in the faith and what it will produce, and what faith will produce in our lives. And He is preparing Colossae and preparing believers. Paul is, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he's preparing them on how to combat filters. Okay, because 2 and 3, we're going to get into some filters. But he's preparing them in chapter 1, in the very first part of chapter 2. This is what you have to stay focused on if you're going to live in truth and not live through filters. So we're looking at that. So last week, we walked down through verse 23. And then tonight, we're going to pick up at verse 23. All right, ready to go? Let's move forward. So Colossians 1, verse 23, let's read it again. If, there's that big little word. If indeed you continue in the faith, then you will be holy, blameless, acceptable, above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So now we're pressing forward, and Paul begins to tell us now in verse number 23, he begins to share with us the importance and the necessity of standing firm in the assurance of what Christ has accomplished. If you cannot settle your life on the assurance of the gospel, amen, then you will choose filters over faith. If you can't settle it on the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that even though man, that's all of us, mankind, even though mankind sinned, fell away from God, was alienated from God, became enmity with God, became enemies of God, even though man fell, ever man since Adam, now Adam and Eve, every man born of woman, now other than Jesus Christ himself, every human being born was born into sin. They were born into that filter of sin. That was their life. That's the way everything was. That's the way they saw. And the only way out of that was God sent his son. Now in the old covenant, we see a law that would be put in place to hold people as a taskmaster to keep them in the right direction, looking for the Messiah that would come, sharing in blood sacrifice, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And those sacrifices in the old covenant would push off sin, and they would continue to do that until Messiah would come. Jesus came, died on the cross, paid the price for sin, rose again on the third day, is alive forevermore in heaven. And now, if any man is in Christ, if we put our faith in him that he's the Son of God, that he died for our sins, that he rose again on the third day, we believe him to be the Messiah, our Savior. Any person that does that is now saved. It means we are reconciled with the Father now. Okay, that's the gospel. Has nothing to do with works, has nothing to do with what we do after we're saved. The gospel, listen, here, let me say that again because you may have missed that. It has nothing to do with works. The gospel itself, this simple gospel message, has nothing to do with what we do after salvation. It has everything to do with how to receive salvation. That doesn't mean that the word's not going to teach us how to live and this change is not going to come out. It just means the gospel, see, we confuse things because we want to tell people that are far from God everything they need to be doing before we just share with them the simple message of the gospel. God loves you so much, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever would believe in him should have life, should not perish, but should have life everlasting. That's the good news of the gospel. Amen. And that is what you must be steadfast in and grounded in. But how you remain grounded and steadfast in the gospel that you now have believed now begins to deal with our walk and the way we see life. Then is when faith over filters comes into play. So, stay steadfast and grounded. Now watch what he says in verse 23. If you're steadfast, if you're grounded and steadfast, and listen, and are not, what's that word say? And are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. If you're not moved away from the hope of the gospel, that means that there is the possibility and the opportunity that you could be moved away from the gospel that you received that led you to salvation. The truth of who Jesus is. That is the gospel. Now, people that say, well, I don't think people can backslide. I don't think people can move away. They're not reading their Bible, apparently. Because he just said, stay rooted, stay grounded in the faith. And do not be moved away from the hope of this gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven. So if he's telling them to not be moved away, then there has to be the possibility that they could choose to move away. Does that make sense? I think just simple deduction. I don't have to be a Bible scholar to know that. It's just simple. If he's telling me don't be, you know, if I'm standing by this pulpit and they tell me, now, don't move away from that pulpit, okay, then that means there must be the possibility that I might move away from this pulpit, right? And so that's where we are here. And so you need to understand, we need to put a guard up. We need to be watching for things that try to move us away from the hope of the gospel. What is the hope of the gospel? Well, hope of the gospel is that Jesus already finished this work. That he already died, that he already shed blood, that he already paid the price for sin, that he now is my Savior. That's the gospel. God loves me. God gave his Son. I accepted his Son as my Savior. Now my hope is I'm reconciled through Christ to the Father. So I have to be watching because there are going to be things that try to move me away from that hope. And those things are what I'm calling filters. Those are the things that try to move us from the hope of the gospel that we heard. I don't know how many of you remember the very first encounter you had with understanding you needed a Savior and Christ was your Savior. But that was an amazing encounter. When you begin to understand that and you made Christ that decision and that conviction came upon your life and you came to know Christ, that was hope. That was long before we got all jaded and trying to tell everybody else how they're supposed to live their lives and all this kind of stuff, or we got down on ourselves for how we've lived since then and all that kind of stuff. There was hope. Hope was the Holy Spirit is drawing me to Christ, so therefore there's hope for me. In fact, conviction is hope. Amen. How many understand that? Do you know in the church world today, we want to diminish conviction. But conviction means there's hope. Because if there was no hope, then there would be no need for conviction. But because there's hope, sometimes as believers, we need to be convicted about the filters we've chosen to live through. Amen. Okay, so that's what he's saying. He says, stand firm in this. And then notice he says, and this message was preached to every creature under heaven. I mean, then this message is going out. And then Paul goes on and he says, of which I, Paul, become a minister of. He's not the only minister of. He's just a part of this message going out to every creature. And we must keep our faith grounded, rooted in the fact, the truth, that Jesus paid it all. Amen. Now, let's go to verse 24 and verse 25. Two verses, verse 24 and 25. I now, Paul, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now that's a pretty hard statement, but we'll pull that out in just a moment. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, I want to say something to you because I think we need to hear this as well. Suffering in this body and for the body of Christ is normal. To go through struggles is normal. Notice what Paul says. I studied this out, and then after studying it out and reading it in several versions and looking up some word definitions and then going to some commentaries and looking, this really kind of summarized this for me. This reconciliation by Christ of Jews and Gentiles to God in one body, it's a mystery, okay? It's revealed only in Christ. And Paul's going to talk about that in a little bit. But Paul rejoiced that he was able to suffer for them what he said, what was still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions. By that, it doesn't mean that the suffering Christ did was not sufficient. It simply means what the wording really means. It's not that Christ's suffering was not sufficient or was insufficient on the cross. He was not speaking of salvation here. He was speaking of service. And Christ's suffering alone produced salvation. That's suffering on the cross. Okay? But it is a privilege of believers to suffer for Christ. Because any time, now listen to this, the word affliction is not used in the New Testament of Christ's death. It means distress, pressure, or trouble. How many believe Paul knew something about distress, pressure, and trouble? Okay? Now, and ordinarily it refers to trials in life, not the pains of death. Christ suffers when Christians suffer for him. He is joined with us in that suffering. So while suffering is happening, Christ is there with us. So Paul is saying here, I gladly suffer for this gospel because I'm suffering for you, and as I'm suffering for you, Christ is with me. Amen. And Christ is with you. Since the church is Christ's body, he is affected when it is affected. That's good news, guys. You're the body of Christ. You're the bride of Christ. We are joint heirs with him. When you're affected, he is affected. Do you remember Scripture says that we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmity? He knows what it is to struggle. And when we are struggling, he's with us. He shows us the way to victory, but he understands where we are. So Paul is basically saying that my suffering, I don't consider it to be way out of whack. I just look at it and I say, when I'm struggling, when I'm distressed, when I'm hurting, and it's for the cause of Christ, and it's going to be a benefit to the body of Christ, when that is happening, then I'll gladly go through that because it means Christ is with me as I walk through this. My faith is not in play. I'm not going to back away. I'm going to understand there's going to be stress, distress, and problems. Because we are carriers of the gospel. And carriers of the gospel face struggles. Jesus taught them and he said, don't think it's strange. They hated me, they're going to hate you. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. I know that's not an American Christian church message, but we're probably about to see it's going to be. Because we are living in times where we better get this established. I've seen so many people back away, walk away from Christ, be moved from the hope of the gospel because of struggles. Paul's trying to get a very clear message here. Don't see your life through the filter of what you're going through. See your life through the faith, the truth that's found in Christ, that when you struggle, you are in union with him, and he has already overcome. And whatever you face for the gospel's sake is going to benefit believers because you're going to have a testimony. Amen. So that's where we are now. So I want to talk to you for just a moment about suffering in this body is normal, because it represents his suffering for us, and we're a part of that. We're joined in with that now. And here's what I wanted to say to you about that. There are three things that happen, three battles, or maybe more than this, but three battles that came to my mind that a believer will face. You ready? These might make sense to you as I say these. There are three different types of battles. First of all, as believers, if we are focused on Christ in the faith, keeping our hope there, we will be opposed. Write that. We will be opposed by the enemy. If you're not being opposed by the enemy, you probably better check the life you're living, because you may be living through a filter and not faith. Because you will be opposed. The enemy stands in opposition to believers. Why would we think it's strange when we go through opposition? Amen? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why would we think that was strange? The church, believers, followers of Christ have always faced opposition. Amen. But yet as believers, especially in the American church, well, we're ready to just throw up our hands and give up anytime we face opposition. You will face opposition. Might as well settle that. Keep your hope in Christ and the gospel that Jesus paid the price, that He overcame suffering, that He will walk you through your suffering, through your stress, through your distress, through your problems. He's going to go through it with you. Don't let opposition bring a filter into your life. And the second way that I wanted to share with you is a believer that tries to live their life through flesh filters will find themselves in failure. So this is a flesh. We're opposed by the enemy. But then flesh, the filters of our own flesh, will bring failure and discouragement to us. So the enemy will oppose us trying to go forward for God. But our flesh will direct us to failure and then discouragement. Because flesh will lead us to disobedience. Has anybody ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that if you act upon your flesh, it's followed by disobedience to God? You know why? Because flesh is an adversary of God. It's what the Word says. The Word teaches us that. So when you find yourself in discouragement and failure, it is because you are approaching your life through the filter of flesh. Don't always blame your failure on the enemy. Most often, well, I'm going to probably say all the time, your failure and my failure is because of flesh. The Spirit indeed is willing, but what is weak? What is weak? The flesh. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. And if I live my life through the filter of my flesh, it's going to lead to failure and it's going to lead to discouragement. So we have opposition from the enemy. We have failure and disobedience and defeat that dwells within the flesh. And then if we're not careful, if we allow false spiritual filters to come into our life, we will find ourselves oppressed. And that is when we are carrying things on us that we were never made to carry. And those things, whether they be spirits or whether they be the filters of a false spirit, those will bring weariness and cause us to lose heart. False spiritual assumptions will allow oppression in our life. So flesh leads to failure and defeat and disobedience. The enemy will oppose us, but these seducing spirits and these spiritual filters, rather than looking through Christ and what He accomplished in the Word of God, we will allow oppression in our life. And we will feel wearied. In fact, Daniel talks about when the Antichrist rises up, that what he will do to believers in those days, to those, he said even the most elect would be deceived if the days were not shortened. But he says, here's what that spirit, that Antichrist is going to do. He's going to try to wear out the saints. Do you know what wears out saints? When you are living your life through a spiritual filter that is not the Word of God and not the finished work of Christ. So the laws, you're trying to do it all on your own. You're trying to be good enough. You're trying to go to church enough times a week or volunteer enough to somehow do away with your sin. And those are spiritual filters that will only lead to oppressiveness, inordinate fear. We're living in a time right now that believers are being inundated with fear. That's a spiritual filter. Fear that is motivated, not a reverence for God type of fear. That's the beginning of wisdom. But a fear of what's going on around us, it's almost as if we're saying God's not enough. And if you say God is not enough, then you're living your life through some spiritual filter that has allowed oppression into your life. And it's come in the form of fear. Amen. So, there are answers to these things, but you need to understand the battle that you're in. Now, verse 26. We're just walking through this. So now he says, he's become a minister of God for the stewardship from God was given to him. Verse 26. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here's the answer. The answer to the attacks of the enemy, the answer to what we just went through, where he says this suffering that we can go through opposition, we can go through battles, we can go through fights with the flesh, we can go through spiritual filters that try to pull us away from Christ. The way we stay focused is by understanding the mystery that's now revealed. Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery of grace is now clearly revealed to Jews and Gentiles alike. Now, I'm probably not going to take as much time as I wanted to here, but here's something that hit me in my study. It says, that what hit me in my study, it said in my spirit, I heard him say, when God called Abram, called him to leave Ur of the Chaldees, to go to a land that he would show him, he would make him a father of nations. He would bless him. His seed would be blessed. And Abraham is that patriarch of the Jewish people who would be the womb of the Messiah that was going to come. And Abraham walked by faith. Romans 4 talks all about it. If you want to write it down, you can go read verses 13 through 25. Abraham received that word by faith, walked in it by faith. But the promise was not just that Abraham would be the father of the Jews. The promise was that by faith, Abraham would be the father of all nations. All that would come to know God's grace, the Gentiles are brought in. As Christ came, we see the fulfillment of this mystery. Amen. See, he called Abraham and the Jews out of Abraham, and out of that came the law, and out of that came the walking and preparing for Messiah. But more powerfully than that, by faith, Abraham received the promises of God that not only went to Jews, but eventually would come to Gentiles when Jesus, his seed, would come. Amen. And now the Gentiles, as well as the Jews, reveal this mystery when we place faith in Christ, the Savior of the world. Okay? Now, I'm going to keep going here. Verse 28 and 29, we're going to finish up chapter 1. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Now, who do you think he's talking about when he says, present every man perfect? Is he talking about every human being in the world? No. Every person who puts faith in Christ. Now, let's talk about this, these two verses for just a few minutes. So, we must begin to tell others about this gospel. Okay, now, I want you to think with me. And I want to read this to you again because this is vital. Verse 28. We warn every man and we teach every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ. The New Living Translation, I believe it is, talks about in the relationship to Christ. Every man is perfected. Now, perfect does not mean sinless. Doesn't mean like perfection that we never fail. It means to be mature, complete. That we would present every man complete, how? In their relationship to Christ. That's what the New Living says. That we would, there it is, in their relationship to Christ. Thank you, George. Now this is what hit me, and I'm going to get up for a minute because we may end here tonight. Here's how we are presented complete. And it is, we are presented complete and mature in our relationship to Christ. Present men perfect in their relationship to and in Christ. This is what hit me. If you will stay in proper relationship with and to Christ, you are completed in Him. You are mature. Now, if you step out of that, you're not. But if you stay in Him, in right relationship in and to, with and to Him, you are made perfect. You are completed in Him. Because He finished the work on your behalf. All of a sudden I saw, and George, will you go there with me? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You probably can quote this scripture. Some of you can. I know I can, but I want him to pull it up here. 1 John 4 and 4, because I want you to see what this says, because this hit me in a brand new way as I was preparing for this. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. How many times have you quoted that scripture? You think you quoted that? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. How many believe you've said that many times? All of a sudden in prayer, the Lord began to reveal to me that something that I had not really noticed in this before is, here's the reality. In my body, in my flesh, I am in the world. I've quoted that, and I understand in the scripture, and we'll read it all in context because I want you to hear this. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out in the world. You know what they're going to do? They're going to try to get you to see through their filters. By this time, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Because that's the truth. By this, you know the Spirit of God. And then verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, did not pay the price, did not complete the work, that there is something left undone, is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. It's against Christ, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. He's not talking about the Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's this filter that people are going to see. It's a spirit of being against what Christ has accomplished. And so then he says, you are of God. Why? Because we're reconciled through Christ. Little children, and you have overcome them. This spirit of Antichrist, these that try to put these filters, you have overcome them. Because he who is in you, that's Christ, is greater than he who is in the world. Not just the enemy that's roaming in the world. Anything, anyone that's in the world, which includes you and my, our flesh. And greater, if we understand who Christ is in us and who we are in right relationship to him, greater is he in us than anyone, even including our own flesh, that is in this world. Amen. But it's all about the filter you're seeing through. Because if you have determined that you cannot overcome because your flesh is too weak, you're looking through the filter of what's in this world. And therefore, you're nullifying the fact that greater is the one that is in you. And I see so many people, believers, that live their life this way. Well, I know what the word says, but I just can't live it out. You're looking through the filter of what's in this world. You're living your life by what the spirit of Antichrist is showing you. And do you know your flesh? Hear this. Your flesh, until it's going to be redeemed one day. But do you know dwelling in your flesh is an Antichrist outlook? Because your flesh is enmity with him. You have to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Isn't that what the word teaches us? You have to put them to death. You have to put off the old man, the former conversation, and put on the new man that's in right relationship with the Father through Christ. Amen. That's how you are perfected in relationship. Christ lives through me. Christ walks through me. Christ talks through me. Christ thinks and gives me the ability to think in and through him. Not the world, myself, or the enemy. And if I will let Christ dwell in me fully and richly, I am perfected in that relationship with him. If I keep a right perspective, this is what hit me. Filters take away from the perfected understanding of proper relationship to Christ. You and I need to put our lives in proper perspective to Christ. We think of relationship, we only think of, you know, well, talking with and loving and communicating with. But relationship also, do you know, you have to be in a right relationship to something. You have to be in a right perspective. Christ must be first, and everything else must come below him. That is a proper relationship of where I come according to Christ. Amen? And so filters take away from that understanding. Filters put us equal to Christ. Filters put the world above the will of God. People put the filters that we live through put flesh above Christ. And we got to keep a right perspective if we're going to be perfected in this finished work. Amen. Do you know this is good for salvation, but it's also good for our sanctification? If I keep a right perspective of Christ, what he's accomplished, and I stay in that right relationship, I keep myself where I belong and I put him where he belongs, I am now presented by Christ to the Father, mature and complete. Amen. You can't add to that. How can you and I add to what Christ has already done? We can't. So we have to stay in right relationship. We have to stay in right understanding. And if we do that, we will live our life free from the filters that try to come on us, and we will live in truth. We will live in right position and right perspective, which leads to right relationship. And that will be in Christ, and we will be perfected by him and for him. Let me say it this way. Know your place in Christ. He's in you, but know your place. Your flesh is secondary to him. Your thoughts are secondary to his. Remember what the word says? My thoughts are not your thoughts, for my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Amen? I believe believers need to hear this. Know your place. Know your place in Christ. He is greater. And we run around and say, well, I can't do that. Well, when you say that, when God's told you to do something and you are constantly saying you can't, then you are not in right perspective with Christ. Because you're looking through a filter of this world. Amen. Because he didn't call you to do it because you could do it. He called you to do it because he wants to do it through you. So you got to keep him in right place. And you got to know your place. Amen. All right. I was going to press on into chapter 2, but I'm just going to stop there. Chapter 2, the first 7 verses, is going to summarize what chapter 1 just told us. And then starting in verse 8, we're going to move into the filters. But if you don't get a solid foundation first, the filters will be impossible to overcome. You've got to get this right relationship. That's why this hit me even just today again like a ton of bricks as I'm right down here praying. It just hits me when we got to get the right idea of relationship. How many of you have ever drawn something? You ever draw something? Now, I'm a horrible artist or whatever. I wouldn't even use that term for me. I don't know. What do you call someone that can draw stick figures? I don't know if you call that an artist or not. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Kindergartner, somebody said that's probably true. But you know, I remember we used to have to take art in elementary school. And I remember taking art, and I remember they tried to teach us perspective. How many of you ever drew the cube? That's about the extent of my artistic ability. I could draw a pretty mean cube. You know, and you had to get the right perspective, because if you didn't, it just didn't look right. Right? Or how many of you ever tried to draw something like a road that's leading off out into the horizon? And if you don't have the right perspective on that drawing, it doesn't look right. Right? Or if you draw a horse and those back 2 legs aren't in the right perspective, it doesn't look right. It looks like you just drew a 4-footed creature with all the feet on one side. Legs, hooves, whatever. The perspective's off, right? And when the perspective is off, the picture is off. When I think of that in terms of relationship to Christ, I have to make sure the perspective is right. That's going to determine my maturity. Because here's what I want to say, and we'll close. Because nothing in this world can change your right perspective of Christ if you are rooted and grounded in the faith. No suffering. Nothing this world throws at you. Nothing that your flesh comes up with. Nothing can change that. You got Christ in the right perspective. How many know if Christ is before your eyes at all times, you're not seeing your enemies? If your eyes are fixed on your enemies to the point it's bringing fear and it's bringing doubt, then you don't have Christ in the right perspective. You remember the story of Elisha and his servant? And they gathered up around Elisha and they were going to come and take him and arrest him. And they gathered, the army gathered around his house, and his servant went out and saw him, and he come running in and he said, "Sir, they're all around us. There's no hope." And Elisha walked out and just prayed and said, "Lord, open his eyes so he can see what I'm seeing." And when God opened the servant's eyes, all around the hills was the army of God that he never saw because he could only see the enemy. I'm going to help somebody, and maybe it's just me. But if you will keep Christ in right relationship, in right perspective, in right position, if you will keep him in the right place, he will be greater than any enemy. Greater than your flesh. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Because nothing can shake that vision of Christ in me. For what he has accomplished, the completed work he has done. If I keep that as my focus, nothing else can defeat that. Amen. Let's stay in right relationship, keeping His work, His finished work, His shed blood in right perspective, His great ability, His greatness in right position, so that when filters try to present themselves to us, we will choose truth over filters. Amen. My devotional reading, I've been reading through, I'm at a point in my reading that I'm reading about the children of now Judah being taken into captivity. Israel and Samaria was already taken in, and now Judah is going in. And I read about the prophets, the false prophets who would prophesy things to them that were not true because they were wanting things to be right, but they had the wrong filter. And prophets like Jeremiah and Ezekiel would tell them the truth, and they would get so mad about that. And it's hit me so many times. We want to choose the easy way out, but all that is a filter. When sometimes we're going to walk through a hard road, God's plan and God's purpose is before us. And Christ is empowering us, and the Spirit is moving us. And if we'll stay with our focus there, we will be victorious through it all. Amen. Stand to your feet with me here in the house.